Attention all passengers, weary travelers, and wanderers. You are now aboard the airship. Landing gear is up. We're ready to begin our journey. Please recline in your seats, relax, and grab a beverage. Our guest tonight is the Reverend D. Trujillo, going to take us on a musical, magical, spiritual journey throughout time and space of the music. I'll be your pilot for this show. My name is Roy. The co-pilot is Rachel. We have a guest tonight that's going to come in and help us pilot and navigate this ship. That would be the chameleon from Young Hitters. And the in-flight navigator and engineer for it is Mr. Sean Hensley. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We hope you enjoy this ride. And thank you for that beautiful intro by the Reverend over there. So, for introductions for everybody.
Hey, I'm Rachel. Nice to see you all here.
Rachel, how you doing? Good to see you. I am so the chameleon, good. Young Hitters. I am back again to help out. Appreciate you guys having me back.
I am the Reverende Damiano Eduardo Trujillo. Or the Reverend Damian Trujillo from Sheridan, Wyoming.
That is the best name ever right there. That was like, that is a title right there. You know, I can appreciate that.
It was kind of hot.
It's something beyond the title. Let's hear that again. Give it to us one more time.
Reverende Damiane Eduardo Trujillo.
My nipples got hard right now. That was great. Like that is the best.
I feel
name
like who's
ever.
Who's that guy doing them commercials for beer? Who is he?
Yeah,
I kind of
drink
feel
responsibly. You know.
Yeah, drink responsibly.
What is this?
Yeah. Here, here.
Hey, here, here. Everybody better have a drink and be responsible about it. And yeah, so yeah, definitely. Yeah, have a drink if you're out there sitting and listening. We got a spiritual guy here, the Reverend, and you know, as we all know, after Egypt invented this whole thing called beer, it was the monks that finally perfected it and still brew some of the best today. So, yeah, it comes from God, definitely.
Yes, and if you like, you can also drink iced tea and some vino, if you like, you know, a little bit of wine, you know.
Yes, grapes from the vine, the fruit of the earth.
Yes.
Definitely, definitely. Stuff.
But whatever you do, don't drink and drive. So,
do not. Yeah, do not don't drink and drive. Like we said, responsibly here. So, the Reverend here, my brother Damian, no name for, oh God, what about 15 years now since first time we met? You were playing a gig at the Sheridan Center in Sheridan, Wyoming, back in the ballroom there. At that point in time, you were with a band called Jericho 7. Tell me a little bit about them, what they did, what they played.
Jericho 7, I'm not this crazy holy roller type person, but I happened to be at church one day, and they were talking to, the minister was talking about the city of Jericho, and there was a army marching around Jericho, and they marched around Jericho for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they screamed so loud that they knocked the walls down with the sound. And so I'm like, well, Jericho, Jericho 7.
Is that the original Rebel Yell?
You know what I mean? My whole concept in my head at that time was to have a massive sound to break down barriers. And so I started Jericho 7 with, it was me, my brother, Jason Trujillo, this kid named Brandon Bertelson on the drums, and then this other guy named Mario Watt on guitar. And we would go to practice all the time, and Mario started not showing up, and we were going to be like this great band, cover tune band, and we were going to play the bars. And our guitar player kept
you
on
were
going to
suck?
Well, but we were gonna suck. No, we were gonna be really good and get paid for it. But we were gonna suck because we played cover tunes.
Yeah,
which I know that sucks. So Mario stopped showing up. So me, Jason, and Brandon started developing our own sound, and that's when we became an all original band, Jericho 7 3-piece.
So what kind of sound would you classify that? What genre? What would you say we're plug yourself in here.
That
to
was
box.
In 2002.
Yep.
And we went from 2002 to about 2005. I'd say it's it was like indie rock. Indie rock from the late 70s
style. When I listened to it, it reminded me of like the 70s heavy metal, like if I was back listening to Ozzy or something like that back then, or kind of something along that. It was hard rock.
Yeah, hard rock.
It was definitely hard rock, late 70s style, or possibly even in early 90s, it kind of had a rebirth again. And it was in 2002 when I heard you guys, actually.
Yeah.
You just put out the album, the Red album, and now that's part of an anthology, correct?
Yeah, I thought I was cool, you know, back then. And I tried to have a recording studio, and I just sucked really bad at recording. But so we spent a lot of money on recording stuff, and then we ended up going to Texas, San Antonio, to record. And we recorded 3 albums in one day. It was 21 songs, and it's going to be the red album, white album, and a blue album.
Now, is there any plans to publish that white and blue album? I've got the red album here in front of me, and I've listened to it, and we've all reviewed it. This is some amazing stuff here.
Yes, I will finish that project. I will go back to it. Both my brother and I will probably produce it the rest of the way, and we'll sell a 3-CD album, or you buy 2 CDs and you get to download the third CD for free or something like that. We just haven't really decided. But it's kind of a patriotic theme, of course. And I'm a patriot, I guess.
I'm gonna bust your balls on this. I'm gonna bust you here a little bit on this.
Let's do it.
I'm listening to what you're playing now. And you got this, and you got these tracks that you've been holding back for over a decade on us, dude. That's just cruel and evil and mean and inhumane.
Yes.
And, yeah, I'm not sure that I really like that, but I can't wait to hear them. You're just trying to cash in on something you previously done? How do you feel about this? Are you passionate about this?
You know,
it's so different from what you're doing now. And what you're doing now is really beautiful, and this is really something, too.
Well, that's, I think life is dynamic, and we need to change with it. Otherwise, it changes without us. So I think it was a progression of change. And I will go back, and it's going to be like picking up the pieces, you know, so I can complete it, because I don't like leaving things undone. So all those terrible things you called me and said that I did and that I do, it doesn't. I understand totally. I do that to myself even. But I'm going back, buddy. I'm going
to
do it.
I'm just helping you out. I want to do it for you, and you can tell me to, you know, take a hike and whatnot. You don't have to listen to it, because I reserve the right to be totally wrong at any given point in time, man.
Yes, you do. So,
but with that, I'd like to listen to a track off that and be totally wrong, and at the same time, I'm totally alive. We're all alive, and that's what we're going to hear is
I'm alive.
I'm alive. Title track off Jericho 7 Red Album.
Lately, everything seems to pass away. All the things I've done, all the words I say, hey, lately my life is like a ball and chain, where everything is up one day, then down again, hey. And although there's one thing that I know, no matter what I do, no matter where I go, hey. Held hands with the
And now I don't know which way I should run. And I've had whiskey and I've had wine and I've had women. I've done my time.
With the Earthship. In case you missed our first part of the show, we are here this evening with the infamous Reverend D. I can't say it with the whole Spanish twang behind it. I'm sorry.
Damien is good.
Damien, here tonight.
I'm going to just call him Rev.
So. Rev.
Yeah.
Rev.
Rev it up.
And that was a song that we just played from Jericho 7. What was
the
name?
The Red Album.
The I'm Red alive. Album. I Am Alive. Here. So listening to the song, like, it was rather amazing. Like, it sounds pretty close to, you know, everything that's kind of out there. You're going to relate to it, associate with it, gets you moving, kind of wants me to close my eyes a little bit and dream about it. Think about a man instead of a woman.
You know we got that on video, dude.
Yeah,
we have a couple people in the peanut gallery over here.
So, with that kind of said, Damien, you know where, you know how did this kind of, this is indie rock.
Yeah, that's what I call it. I call it indie rock. There's another name for it. I think it's called album oriented rock. It was a phrase that came out in the 70s. And I'm pretty partial to Lynyrd Skynyrd, so
I love you.
When I pulled that song, that's where I was pulling from. I was pulling from my Skynyrd background, and because I used to do cover tunes, you know, in bands playing Skynyrd, etc. And the radio station approached me there in Sheridan, and they said, "We want a song this week to put on the radio."
Nice. And was that this song?
This is the song. I wrote it very specific. For airplay.
No pressure at all.
Wow.
None. That's what he said, buddy. And I'm like, okay. So I sat down and I'm like, well, okay. You know, I held hands with the devil when I was young, you know, and I didn't know which way I should run. That's the only phrase I had. And so I based the whole song around that phrase. And they played it like crazy, you know, for a while because they were promoting us in the area. So.
Yeah, I remember hearing it playing back then on the radio and stuff. Did it play anywhere else outside of Sheridan?
You know what? I really wasn't, like, pushing it. You know what I mean? I was just playing music because Jericho 7 was originally needed. I wanted a stadium-style rock band. And that's what our whole goal was, to be a stadium-style and stadium-level rock band. So I never got too hip on the promotional part of it. I let other people do that stuff. Yep. So
yeah, I'm sitting here. You say that, and I'm sitting here. I'm looking at through the song list and everything, and there's a definite formula, and we've talked about this before.
Yes.
About what gets played on air, what that formula is. There's a certain tempo, there's a certain measure, there's number of beats per measure, and there's a time constraint. And that time constraint is 3:24.
Yeah.
And they don't want anything over or under that. And I'm going through your album. I just sat down here and I've picked it up and I looked at it. I'm like, I'm Alive, 3:37. Crawl, 3:36. My Disease, 3:59. A little long on that one, dude. You're taking your time there.
Emotional.
Pretty Blue Flame, 3:28. Kill My TV, Dead on the Button. You couldn't hit a better. Love the name of the song. Love the song. It's My Soul and Heart. 3:24.
See, and I love that song, actually.
Yeah.
I was working at this place, and this guy came in, and he says, man, I want to kill my TV. And I said, yeah, me too. And so I'm like, I need to write a song, you know? And I actually played it at the grade school. My kids were in grade school, so in fourth and fifth grade. So I played it for the fourth and fifth graders. And for the next 2 years, all those kids were doing was walking around the school saying, kill my TV.
God, I'm just wondering if we should cue that up and just roll through it real quick. Like, you want to roll through it there?
Yeah.
Our in-flight engineer, what the hell, the subject came up. I hate the TV. This box lies to you. It tells nothing that's true and nothing's real on there.
Kill it.
Hit it.
Kill my TV.
Back. That is a good excuse to own a shotgun, a high-powered rifle, some explosives. Yes, something. Just blow that thing up. You don't need that TV.
That's why I say, you know, 45 in my grip. I don't care what the neighbors think about my trip. You know what I mean? Because I'm laying on the couch smoking my TV out.
Hey. My TV is in trouble tonight.
You know, you're more likely to get arrested for smoking your TV in the middle of the night with a 45 laying on your couch than anything else. Unless you live on the south side of Billings, Montana here, and everybody's used to those kind of sounds in the middle of the night.
Standard business down there, yeah.
Yeah, standard business, trust me. I hear it all the time. So you changed a little bit with what you're doing to what you're doing now, and I know we got some of that coming up. What led to that change? What happened? What's the... Coming from Jericho 7 to what you're doing now, and I hear what you're doing now, and I'm like going, oh my God, this dude is touching something on not only a primal level, but a soul right down to the very grass that my feet walk on, and that's where it's really starting at and moving back up is what it feels like. So tell me about what you're doing right now.
Okay, Jericho 7 ended 2005. Our drummer flaked out.
Crash.
I still love him, though, but I almost had to hurt him really bad, but I didn't. But he flaked out, and we tried to continue on as Jericho 7, but we couldn't find a drummer to replace him. I mean, because we were practicing three times a day, you know, 5:30 in the morning till 7 o'clock at night, then we practice at lunch, and then we also practice after work again. So, I mean, we were tight. So me and my brother tried, and we just couldn't do it. And so I quit music, actually. And sold dun, all dun, of our dun. Equipment, sold everything. Wow. So, I mean,
I wound up buying a lot of that gear.
Me and my brother, we battled, and we had terrible struggles because music is so important and deep in us. There was too much tension. He had to leave the state. Actually,
I'm sitting here and I'm looking at you talking about this, and I got to express to people. I'm looking at you talking about this, and I'm seeing this. This heartfelt pain in your expression, in your face. It's really honest. There's this pain when you talk about this in there of the music ending and when you got a passion for something that you're so passionate about and you just can't do it or have it. I understand that. So
it was terrifying, but it was terrifying.
Yeah. It's like losing your sight.
It broke me.
Yeah. Losing your vision.
It broke me down. And then, so then I gave up everything. I got rid of all my music equipment, stopped playing, blah, blah, blah. And Jason, my brother, he invited me to Colorado to play in a country music showdown, which I've done a couple of those in this area in Sheridan area and actually won them, even though I wasn't a country musician at all, but I could fake it really good. And so he invited me down there. And I saw a bunch of bluegrass players from, like, Kentucky and the East Coast. And I listened to them, and I was like, man, that's some good music. I like it. I like it a lot. I'm going home. So I went there, did the country music showdown, placed last place, of course. There was a bunch of girls there with short mini skirts. They just looked better than me. Right. Although my music was good, it was all about the looks on that one, and I lost. It won't happen again. I'll wear a mini skirt next time. Anyway,
tits and ass will get it over you.
I'll shave my legs. Yeah. I'll do whatever.
Oh,
I'll do what I got to do.
Tie up your shirt.
I can't wait.
Manscaping. Yeah.
You know what?
I'm buying a
I might
for
know
that
somebody
one.
Who does.
I need
that.
A lawnmower for that. That's all I can say. Anyhow,
a sickle,
a weed eater. Yeah. So here I am. I go back to Colorado, or I come from Colorado, go back home to Sheridan, and all I had was a ukulele. And I sat down and I wrote.
Listen to Don Ho.
No. I wrote 12 bluegrass songs in 1 week on the ukulele.
Wow.
And I said, man, this. I feel good about this. I feel inspired. I'm going to start playing again. And I sucked at bluegrass. I don't even know what the heck that was. And so I put down the guitar pick, bought an acoustic guitar, and I taught myself how to finger pick. Mm-hmm. And I actually trained myself on a online site called Street Jelly. StreetJelly.com, where you play live music over the internet, and I have a video camera set up in my studio, little studio room, and I stream live. And so I would just play, and I would play, you know, 70 hours a week. I'd be playing on Street Jelly, training myself to relearn music. And this is what I have now.
I recently had some conversations with the developer and builder of Street Jelly.
Frank Padmaha.
Yep, Frank. And we're actually scheduling a phone call for this weekend and going to talk a little bit. This is an interesting venue that out there, people. If you're an artist, Street Jelly takes off the idea of a street musician sitting on the corner playing, got his guitar case laying out there, people throwing money in it. Street Jelly is an internet version of that where you set your cameras up and everything and you play and you do your own production. And based on how well your production is and how well your music is, people can hit the button and donate money to you. Now, yes. You've done pretty good on some shows. You did like, what, $150 yes. bucks on show here a while back?
You know, depending on how many people are there, and they're very generous. And, you know, I've seen people make $20. I've seen people make $200. You know, it just depending. It kind of depends how long you're going to play, et cetera, et cetera. And my shows were, I like to keep my shows really clean, and I just do music. I don't really make a lot of jokes or anything. You know, I'm not as funny as I am here today, you know. You know what I mean?
I don't believe that. I really don't.
We don't believe that at all, right? Yeah.
You know, not even over. And I just play music, and I have stories behind my music, and I set it up so it looks like a PBS show, you know? So it looks like you're watching TV right there, and it's live on the internet.
Yeah, but see, when I think about that, I think about things like the early days of Austin City Limits or Boston Acoustic or some other things like that. Boston Acoustic is one of my favorite shows, and they quit producing it and putting it out there. It's not on podcast anymore. It's just amazing, but it's exactly it's that. It's like you and me sitting here, you know, shooting it and BSing and going through the music and a whole crowd of people out there ordering drinks, everything else, and listening to it. It's that kind of stuff.
But from the comfort of your own home, sitting in your room, you can listen to entertainment all across the world, which is that's just great. I mean, I've seen great entertainers on there. I'm just thankful. Frank Padlaha, I'm thankful that he masterminded that because he gave me a lot of opportunity, and this is where my latest project came from, actually.
And speaking of that opportunity and the change from where you went from there to here, you played a little tune for us before we got rolling the show tonight that's about not changing and being who you are at a core. So you want to tell us about that just for a second or two and let us hear it. We're going to hear this one live, folks.
I woke up one morning in 2007, and there's this phrase kept on going through my head, I don't want to change. I don't want to change. And so this is the song.
Let's hear it.
In the morning, I get my kids ready for school. I put some food in the microwave. They say, Dad, you're so cool. I put their coats on and head them out the door. Hey, kids, have a nice day at school. Stand back and I take a look around of all the things we say and do, yeah. Oh no, I don't want to change. 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 Stayed out all night long playing cards with my friends. Yes, it's a long way back home. Gotta take the midnight train once again.
get home early in the morning. I send my kids off to school. I lay down until the noontime. I gotta get up and rolling once again. Oh no, I don't wanna change. 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 Pick my guitar up in the afternoon. I play some notes to soothe my soul. I say a little prayer every day now. I end my prayers with a cup of Joe. I sing a little song about the bottle that kept me hanging on. 'Cause Lord knows I need to change now. 'Cause what I do is all so wrong. I have a dead-end job, but hey, at least I'm getting paid. I just might quit this one for another, and quit that one too anyway. Oh no, I don't wanna change. 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 Whoa, 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 yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Wow, Rev, that was fantastic. I mean, that is a very, very good song right there.
We got a room full of parents here.
Right, before I start this next segment, I just wanted to tell you that's a beautiful song you have there. So I want you to know that.
I like that song.
Yeah, I like it too.
It's touching.
Yeah, it's a good one, right?
It's touching.
Well, you know, Rev, I hear you have a few endorsements, and what I would like you to talk about is, you know, what are the nature of your endorsements, how you acquired them, you know, and, you know, advice for younger guys and some of the things that they need to do to acquire an endorsement, because obviously I have my own record company and artist. And the whole getting endorsement thing can be difficult sometimes, you know, if you have a company that wants you to change certain things or do certain things that are out of your wheelhouse. So,
okay, endorsements, how do you go about it? The best way to do it, you got to practice a lot. The artist does.
Now, what's,
beyond your
what's
imagination.
A lot?
Well, a lot.
You're not going to do it in an hour a day. This is a career.
No, it has to be almost like hours a day for several months. And you got to be on the mark, the end. You can't, there's no room for really, you just got to be there. And how do you do that? You know, you got families, you got jobs, you know. Well, you prioritize and you realize that you're viable, and you do it. The end. Like, so this is what I did. I started listening to what I was doing, and I was like, man, I think I'm viable. I think I'm viable. Feels good. It feels good. I'm inspired. I'm authentic. I'm a traditional. You know. So then I'm like, I want to get some backup somehow. I don't want to do this all on my own. So I looked at the venues and like I got endorsements from G7th capos, and to me they make the best capo on the market. So I contacted them and I said, "Hey, I want you to endorse me." And they said, "Well, send me your information." And so I send them my YouTube videos. I send them my Facebook, and all my Facebook is about music. It's all it is music. It's not no personal junk and all that other stuff. And I send them my like CD Baby. I send them to my site for my CD Baby, and I tell them on Amazon. I just tell them the truth. And they, if they like you, they will endorse you. If they like you, I dovetail strings. I said, "Hey, fill out the paperwork." They look at all your stuff online. Maybe if you have a promo pack, you send that to them, you know, and you follow up, you know, you got to do a lot of follow up, like, but you can't be too, crazy about it, because then they'll think you're like some type of freaking maniac or a leech or something.
Fanatic.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you got, it's right. A very fine line, you know?
So you can't hound them. You just,
you can't hound them. You gotta be very cordial with them, you know? And, just
so,
be business.
So you basically have to be stern without being overbearing. At
yeah. My last endorsement was through Gold Tone Instruments out of Florida. And I contacted them last week, and I said, "Hey," and I sent them my information. They got it. I followed up with them at the end of last week. They said they haven't got a chance to look at it, so I put it. I didn't say nothing. So I called them up yesterday, and I said, "Hey, I'm not trying to be a jerk or anything, but I need to know if you're going to endorse me, because I'm making posters, and I need to know if I can use your logo and stuff legally." Yeah. And I says, "And what the endorsement does for me, I get better deals, like at cost and stuff, you know. And plus, to me, the endorsement is worth more than the deals that I get, because right. if I'm endorsed, that means that I'm doing something right,
right,
and that I have value on my music."
Which is, value is very important.
It's very important, because when I'm, and I'm the only person in the state of Wyoming that has these endorsements from these companies. I'm the only person in the whole state.
Which is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm an unsigned, unrecorded, with this project, unsigned, unrecorded, independent artist. Nobody's working for me.
Hey, let's give him a hand on that. Yeah, I give you a hand on that. That is a huge
accomplishment. I am the only person in Wyoming.
Right.
So my odds were really good.
Were really good.
Yeah. So I want to share something, just a little excerpt from an email I recently sent out to an artist that has agreed to be on the show, and I'm going to take this individual's name out of it. But you hit on something, how you communicate with them and the language and verbiage you use is every bit important. And, you know, now I'd been talking to the artist for quite some time, actually off right. and on for a couple of years. And did I send an email out that says, "Hey, I've been talking or chatting with so-and-so?" No. There's words that you put out there that really catch their attention. So I'm just going to share a couple of lines out. It says, "I've been communicating with the artist about being a guest on our show, The Airship. I was asked to contact you in regards to the format, questions, logistics, and et cetera." And just putting it in, there's a certain language that the industry uses that's a professional language, things like that. The biggest mistake I see people do when they go for an endorsement or talk to a record label or something like that, and having a record label, don't come up talking to me like I'm your buddy on the street.
That is exactly right.
And you spell check, please.
I'm not your friend. We are in business, right?
I got a degree in psychology. I got, right. you know, 25 years in business. I've been to the top, down again, and back up to the top again. Do not talk to me like I'm your buddy on the street and we're having a beer right. in the backyard around the fire or something. That comes later. We're going to get to that point. Now, Damien can talk to me like that because, A, he's big enough he can kick my butt, so I listen to him.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. But we've gone past that. I remember the days with Damien sitting there and us sitting down having coffee and breakfast and whatnot, and Damien said, "Dude, what can you do to help me? You got a record label. What can you do to help me? You got a record label. What can you do to help me?" And I heard a lot of that, and I basically looked at him and I says, "I really can't do anything right now. I don't know what I can do that you're not already doing, and you're doing what you need to be doing at this point in time." Right. And I left him at that because I really – two things. One, I didn't know what I could do for him because he was doing such amazing, great things on his own, and I needed to sit back and see what he could get done on his own. Now we've talked – had some more discussions about that. I know what I have to offer this individual that's an artist. I know what I can offer him. He's defined everything that he's got so well, and what his talents and what he's got going on out there and everything so well, that now it's solid as the Rock of Gibraltar. I can see where the holes are that someone needs to fill in and fit into that. And it's very easy. So as an artist out there, someone says, hey, not right now. You know, they can be blunt and say, you're not ready yet. And that's kind of rude. I don't want to do that to anybody. But, you know, there's a lot of ways around that. And every artist you deal with is different. The easiest way is just literally come out and say, do what you're doing right now. Let's see where it goes and come from there. I knew what he was doing and where he was going. I could see it. I didn't, to be honest, I was clueless how I could help him to get to where he's at today. I had no idea how I could help him. He found some really cool things and started calling me up and telling me about him. Send me messages and tell me about it. I'd check him out every now and then. I'd see where it was, things like that, you know, and those kinds of things. We had some very in-depth conversations on a very professional level.
For artists, you got to be tenacious, but you have to, I mean, artists are weird. They're freaky freaks, you know. They're over emotional, oversensitive, hard. They have hard, difficult times with taking critique and stuff like that. But you got to be able to separate yourself from that, and you got to be, no pun intended, you got to be sound. You know what I mean? That's what you got to be in order. And like, let's say I was talking to the secretary from Gold Tone, and I was saying, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? And I said, and I took my time. I went out of my way and I said, hey, thank you. Thank you for taking your time to speak with me. I says, it's much appreciated. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to you later. And that was the end of the conversation.
That's called gratitude.
Well, yeah, I do have that. I have, but it has to be genuine. You know what I mean? It has to be real, because it is real to me. I really, these endorsements to me are good. They're good. I'm thankful for them.
And that's gratitude with humility, and I think that's very, very important. Knowing who you are, knowing what kind of artist you are, and having that humility to go with it, and the gratitude, even if someone's just giving you constructive feedback.
Oh, yeah. I love feedback, whether it's negative or positive. Right. You know, I'd like it both ways. So.
Well, how can you improve if you're not able to take feedback?
Exactly.
You can't improve anything. And, you know the way society is built now, it's very hard for people to take critique and then try to improve from that.
Yeah. I remember the first person I gave feedback to as a record label owner several years ago. First time I gave him feedback, listened to some of his music, and it was a song called The Apocalypse. And I'm pretty sure he's listening, because he made it a point to have several comments to me about this. And I called him up from Washington. I was out there at Tacoma with our sister label and my partner and everything, and we were doing shows. And everybody listened to it, and I called him up, and I says, dude, I love this song, but this is The Apocalypse. Man, the cell towers are not down. There is nobody coming to fix them. This is The Apocalypse. The cell towers are gone. Why did you say down in your recording? Is, you know what? When I sing it live, I say gone, and I'm like, yeah, it's The Apocalypse. That's why. Now in his recordings, the cell towers are gone. He can't call his girlfriend because it's The Apocalypse. You know? And it was, that was my first time giving anybody feedback, constructive criticism about their song and their music. To be honest, I was scared to death to do that. Who am I to critique somebody else?
So critique me on that. I don't want to change.
Critique you on I don't want to change?
Yeah.
Oh, he put you on the spot right there.
He put me on the spot right there. Between the lyrics and the chorus, there was about a half a beat too long a gap in between the two. There was a pause in there when you stopped playing. It was just a hair too long for radio play. Just a hair. And that's all I can come up with.
That means he's doing a great job. If that's where we're at.
That's the only place I can go, man.
He's in the right area.
I'm looking for radio play. For me to sit and listen to it, it gave me time to reflect on what you just sang. And I love it, personally.
I was almost in tears and half a beat when he went along.
Yeah. Right. There's the most critical thing I can come up with from a radio play aspect on a personal level.
But the message was
my heart is fantastic. On a personal level.
The message to that, everybody can relate to that message in some fashion.
With that critique, you know, me and you are going to have to step out back. I'm sorry.
We will. Can I bring a radio with me?
Can we take bets on this? Let us. Yeah.
Seriously. Let's that's get the only over thing I would say is for radio play when they went and looked at that, they would. I mean, if there's literally over. I mean, I don't know what the fraction of a second there is pause in a song. They start freaking out.
Oh, really? I really got another song.
I don't.
Yeah, I know.
And I could care less. That's the most. I can't come up. That's digging deep, dude. That's the most constructive thing.
You really are pulling hairs at this point.
I am. Well, I'm pulling strings, and they're pretty thin.
If you think that pause was bad, buddy, I got one that's even way worse than that.
Way worse than that?
Oh, yeah.
When we wrap up the show tonight, I want to hear it. No, I'm going to go into... You can't do that one right next.
That's all right.
We already got something planned here. So you recently did a submission. Who is it to? Your last submission.
Oh, for...
That accepted you. That was G7 Capos.
That was Gold Tone Instruments.
Gold Tone Instruments. You did a submission of them. You submitted several songs. We had talked a little bit beforehand. Let us hear one of the songs you submitted to them, the one that you think might have got them.
Yes, I will do that. But I won't. But you don't want that next song with the pause in it, right?
Was that the devil voice coming out?
I think he's giving you a hint right there that you better back up.
You asked for criticism. I gave you constructive.
This next song, it's a perfect song for you.
It is.
It's called Bye Bye.
You know, it's not going to bother me one damn.
I'm going to go ahead and scoop my chair back real quick.
On a personal level, I love all of it. I love all of it. It's art. It's music, and it's beautiful.
Okay, you guys are. I'm going to get you crazy here.
I was literally going under the table.
Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Oh yeah. Stomp your feet, stomp your feet, oh yeah, in time. Clap your hands and stomp your feet, clap your hands and stomp your feet, clap your hands and stomp your feet, clap your hands and stomp your feet for me. Oh, you will never find happiness on the wide road you travel on. Oh, you will never find happiness till you're thankful for what you own. Oh, oh, oh Lord, how hard we try. Oh, yeah, how hard we try. So life don't pass us. Bye, bye to that pause right there. Oh, yeah. Oh, you will never find love. Love as sweet as honey. Oh, you will never find love, cause you hold on tight to that money. Oh, whoa, 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 Lord, how hard we try. Oh, yeah. How hard we try. So life don't pass us by. Oh, yeah. Oh, you will never walk a straight line if you're always looking down. Oh, you will never climb that mountain unless you lift yourself up off the ground. Oh, whoa, 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 Lord, how hard we try. How hard we try. So life don't pass us by, yeah. Oh, well, you want to be free now, cause in your life there's been some pain. Oh, well, you like to be shown how. Well, the truth will surely break your chains. Oh, 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 Lord, how
how hard we try. Oh yeah, how hard we try. So life don't pass us bye-bye. I like this part right here. Don't ever, never worry about tomorrow. Won't add a moment to your life. Don't ever, never worry about tomorrow. Cause in time we all surely die. Bye, 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 bye now. Bye.
That was a brilliant pause. That was a good pause right there. Yeah,
that was a brilliant pause.
That pause was world-class pause.
I think we're all looking around like, did something mechanical just happen?
I just want to say, in my own defense.
Engineer.
That sounded great.
In my own defense, that last critique was clearly from three hats being put on called Sony, BMG, and EMI. And I really hate all three of them. So
I kill them on... like when I play Street Jelly, or they start clapping, you know, and it's like, gotcha, boom, and I go back into it, you know, because
yep.
What I do is this thing, it's called an uncomfortable pause.
Oh,
awkward.
That's
positions.
What it was. Yeah. Exactly.
Uncomfortable pauses and awkward positions.
But I do that.
Yeah.
My life.
I do that on purpose.
Hold on, baby. I'll be right back to you.
I forgot something.
That it was only the women that ended up uncomfortable. awkward.
Elaborate, Rachel.
Position.
We want to hear.
There was a long pause after she did that. Yeah, right.
Show, but it's quickly gone downhill into the adult.
Dr. Ruth.
Yes.
Rachel Ruth.
I think I've become quite notorious for this type of conversation. I think we've already established that.
This is the internet radio.
Yes.
So
everything
we're not. Being followed by the FCC, you know, and all that
good
stuff.
But we're watched by the Homeland Security Office, the NSA, the FBI, the CIA. How many other people? The KGB, I'm sure, is onto us, too, at this point in time.
Yeah. We're not paranoid, but don't worry.
And the fundamental right-wing Christians that listen to our Beers and Bible show on the Intel Scanner a few months ago, they are listening to us, too.
Rev, I have a quick question for you. Being in the music industry, dealing with young artists, I was wondering if you could elaborate on the ability to have patience, wait for the right deals that are for you. If you could kind of give me your experience with that and let them know what they need to do when it comes to that and what the word patience means and how it pertains to them.
Sharpen your skills to the beyond reproach. And don't wait for anybody, because do it yourself and go as far as you can by your own hand and, you know, work on your social skills, et cetera, your interpersonal skills, know how to deal with people. Do it yourself as far as you can go. Push it. Push it, push it, push it. And if you have people around you, good people that believe in you, believe in your product, they will help you. They will help you on your journey. But otherwise, it's just hard. It's just hard,
yes,
man.
It's
hard. I mean, I will push this train for the next 100 years. You know what I mean? I'm going to push it. I don't need no diesel. I don't need no gasoline. I'm going to push it myself.
I think now, and not to interrupt, but people will notice. I am. But just to go along the lines with that is people will notice hard work, and they will honor those, and
they will
put their own risk and effort and work into that person if they think that, yeah, I think this guy has got it.
Right.
Or
that's
this
why
gal,
I have endorsements. That's why I have them.
Exactly. And like having that tenacity, but not being overbearing, but having that professionalism and everything, like that will get you farther than that guy on the across the street hollering at you, hey, hey, and running you down and using horrible language and everything else too. Like,
don't be a
fool. They won't notice.
You can't be a fool when you do this. You've got to be smart about it and surround yourself with good people.
And I think that's, you know, that's the final message right there. And I think the one other thing it takes to it is some passion. And people will see that passion. They'll see that love. You do this with passion. You do this with love. It's going to come to you. And that passion, love comes with desire and dedication. And that's what it takes. That's about all we have for tonight, people. So I want to thank a few of the individuals that help make this happen. For tonight's show, I'd like to thank G7 Capos, Dovetail Guitar Strings, and Gold Tone Instruments for endorsing and supporting our wonderful artist here tonight. Amazing man, some
fantastic
amazing music. He's done some amazing things. And, you know, even if I pull some bullshit critique out of my back pocket that come from the radio stations because he mopped and he beats my ass in the back alley after the show. I love you, brother.
I had to put you on the spot,
buddy. I love you, brother.
I love you, too, man.
And, you know, with that, we got a few other people. Let him go ahead and wrap down the show here. We got a few other people to thank for this. Yellowstone Cellars and Winery go out there on Wednesday nights for some open mic night. Thursdays and Fridays, they got some great musicians playing and some of the best wine in the county here. And it's stomped and fermented right here in Yellowstone County. Along with that, I'd like to thank Yellowstone Valley Brewery for providing us with some good ale on our shows here, and the people that actually keep me from eating ramen noodles and help me make this possible by paying my bills and things like that and helping out with the show, Adventure Whitewater Rafting up out of Red Lodge, Montana, and right now doing some specials on that. If you're active military, $25 for a trip. If you say you heard it on your ship or MT radio when you call in, they'll give you a discount on trips up there too. Guaranteed to give you a wild ride, get you wet, have all kinds of fun, head down the river. And anybody I forgot out of that whole thing?
I'd like I don't know, but you might deserve some paddling. Young Hittas.
I need to thank just a couple people. I'd like to thank Steve Logan for coming up here with me. He plays some music with me.
I've got to back him on percussions quite a few times, and I just love backing him on percussions, playing funk. Amazing man.
A good friend of mine, Pharaoh Salvatore Rufino. We played music together. We've done a lot of crazy things, good things.
With all due credit, Farrell's the one that got this show going and into this studio. He's the one that got me in here, invited me down to the Intel scanner, and one thing led to another.
And if
it weren't for Farrell, I wouldn't be sitting here, and neither would anybody else on this show tonight. So thank you, Farrell.
And my family backs me up 100%, man. They back up my music, my children. I got some great people in my life that believe.
So if you're a wife, son, cousin, brother, mother, father, whatever, of a musician out there, they got passion, they're good, you love them, you love the music, support them. Let's hear some more from you.
I'm going to do, people ask me, why do you write songs about hell and death? And I go, well, one place I don't want to go, and the other thing I don't want to do anytime soon. So I'm going to do a couple songs here. It's part of my hell trilogy.
Wait, before you do that, a toast.
A toast.
A toast.
So this is to all the listeners out there in internet land and beyond.
Take up the glasses.
This is a toast. I am the Reverende Damiani Eduardo Trujillo, and I want you to lie. I want you to cheat. I want you to steal, and I want you to drink. I want you to lie to save someone's life. I want you to steal each other's hearts. I want you to cheat death, and I want you to drink with me.
Poetry. That was beautiful.
Yes.
Poetry, beautiful. Cheers.
Bring us home, Reverend. Bring us home.
Here we go.
Wrap this up.
When I was young, hell would follow me around. When I was up, high waters try to hold me down. Well, I keep searching, even though I can't see, searching my soul for the life
so close to me. So bring me hell or high waters, I keep my feet on solid ground. Bring me hell or high waters, I'll leave this world heaven bound. Well, I met the devil 3 times on the outskirts of town. Around every corner, he waits for me to be found. Yes, I resist him and watch the deceiver run away. If he wants a piece of me, he better come again another day. Yes, I pray. Yes, I pray this way. So bring me hell or high waters, I keep my feet on solid ground. Bring me hell or high waters, I'll leave this world heaven bound. Sometimes I wonder why this life brings me pain. Lightning and thunder roll on me like a train. Water's raging, try to sweep me away. Oh yeah. And hell is chasing me down. Hope you heed what I say. Hey. So bring me hell or high waters, keep my feet on solid ground. Bring me hell or high waters, I'll leave this world heaven bound.
Is hell or high water? This next song, I wrote about hell. Also, it's called Hell. But it's supposed to be a funny song about four-letter words. And it's not a funny song. When I finished writing it, it's actually about us. And we need to keep our word and do what is right. So here we go. Going to hell now. A four-letter word, gold and wealth left behind when we hit that dirt. Oh, hell is long, hard, and cold. You got to save my soul. I know that I've been broken, this rock I lay upon, the door to hell is open, and I know it won't be long. Hell has saved a place for me. Oh, broken downwards left me hanging from this here tree. I can hear them teeth a-clashing every time I close my eyes. I hear them waves come crashing, and it makes me realize I know that I've been broken. This rock I lay upon, the door to hell is open, and I know it won't be long. Got to keep on searching to find out where I stand. Do I stand in this darkness? Do I do what I can? Betray all those around me, for I know not what I do. 'Cause this dark light surrounds me, 'cause wrong is what I choose. The moral of the story, let your words be strong and true. Don't betray your brothers and sisters, and be good in all you do. Yeah, the moral of the story, let your words be strong and true. Don't betray your brothers and sisters, and be good in all you do. And be good in all you do. Reverend Damian Trujillo from Sheridan, Wyoming, and thank you, Roy, for bringing me down here, and I'm just ready to play some music, man.
Is thank you, brother, and
thank you.
That's it.
Adios.
It was beautiful, and beautiful.
Love goes out to everybody, and that's the Earthship for tonight.
Moment of silence!